The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Empowered. Today I'm really excited to be speaking to our guest. Her name is Kara Demrich. She is an interior designer and owns multiple businesses alongside her husband, Kyle, in design and construction. Fresh out of school, Kara studied for 4 years to become a physiotherapist and then practiced physiotherapy for 5 years. But one night, while watching TV with her hubby, she saw the casting for the Aussie renovating show, The Block. In 2014, Kara and Kyle participated in season 8 of The Block, respectfully taking out third place. But from my personal perspective, Kyle and Kara came first in winning the hearts of Australia with their relatability, their kind nature and hard workmanship. Since The Block, Kyle and Kara have project managed, designed and completed over 35 renovation projects because it's what they're truly passionate about. I have loved following Kara's journey, being inspired by her beautiful style and design tips, but also the way she navigated business and becoming a mama. Here's my conversation with the lovely Kara. Welcome, Kara, to the Empowered podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to go back to our first encounter, because anytime I've ever met a guest that comes on, I like to share if we've met and how that happened. So it's a little bit of a story time. So in 2014, you were on The Block with your lovely husband, Kyle, and Clay and I watched that season and just thought you guys were so relatable and hardworking and so genuine, and I developed quite a bit of a girl crush on you. But then that escalated intensely when there was an episode where you had to carry up buckets and liters. I don't even know what it was. It was like plaster or like fill in or something.
It was sand.
Oh, and there was not enough tradies. There was not enough hands on deck, and you just got your guns out and you were just powering up these stairs. And I was like, wow, this chick is just such a weapon. And then, so I was like, oh my God, I just love her. And then in 2016, I was on my baby moon, so super heavily pregnant with my first baby. And I spotted you at a cafe and totally did not keep my cool. Like, I saw you from afar and didn't say anything, but I saw you and I was like, Clay, that's Kara from The Block, and Kyle's next to her, and full freaked out. He was just like, okay, cool, that's awesome, babe. And then you looked at me and I'm like, Clay, Kara looked at me, we locked eyes,
and I had no idea who you were, but I just knew in that moment, she's my type of girl.
Yes, and I said to Clay, I'm like, we locked eyes, and he's like, he's like, you didn't, but that's okay. And then I slipped into your DMs that night and you were like, I noticed you. And I said to Clay, see, we are meant to be friends.
We fully had a moment. It wasn't like a romantic moment. It was a, like, we're going to be friend moment.
Totally. And those things do happen. And then, yeah, I was just so chuffed.
And it's so random. Yeah, we were like 8 hours from where we were living. We were on holidays too. And I just remember seeing your beautiful pregnant belly and going, I know exactly how that chick's feeling right now.
Yes, because you were very, very early pregnant, like not even announced yet.
I think so, yeah. So I was born in October, so.
Right.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, I feel like you were really early on, and then you shared that with me, and then I was like, we really are best friends now because you've just shared that with me and you haven't told anyone. So, we had this little moment, and then we ended up just, yeah, obviously staying in touch through DMs. And then I invited you to my speaking gig and we got to meet in person and hang out and, yeah, stayed in touch ever since.
And that was amazing, that speaking gig, by the way.
Thanks, Kara.
Loved it. It was such a whirlwind of activity for you. So I sort of, you know, I was just watching from afar and didn't want to take up too much of your time, but you were just, amazing.
Loved you even more after that. Oh, I so wish we lived closer so we could hang out on Friday afternoons with the kids one day.
Together.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, so I'm going to start with some break the ice questions just to get into it. So what's something that you've done this week that has brought you joy?
I went for a surf with Zaya. So Zaya, for anyone that doesn't know, is our little, he just turned 5 this week, and it just brings me so much joy paddling out, being in the ocean with him and seeing his stoke levels just through the roof. He's so in love with this sport, and as are Kyle and I. And yeah, he's 5 years old. He pretty much surfs better than me already.
Wow.
And yeah, that brings me so much joy.
That's beautiful. And happy birthday, Zaya. 5 is such a big milestone. What is your go-to pump me up song?
You know what, I've been doing a fair bit of running lately, and I feel like I always start with, this is random, a Cardi B song.
Okay,
I just feel like that just like is so good to get you in the running zone.
I agree. I just like that up song is really catchy and good for running. That's another reason why I've just like always found you so inspirational, because we were training for the half marathon this year. Kind of along the same timeline. Oh, yeah, you were going to come up. That's right. And then you're like, oh, you know what? I may as well, because I'm like such a gun runner, and just run the full marathon. I was like, oh, this chick, you're killing me.
I've got my friends to thank for that. Like I'm the bottom of my friends' running group.
Right.
And they're all so much better than me. So I'm, you know, when you hang out with people that inspire you and push you and,
yeah,
I've got them for that. Tick that one off the list.
That's so epic. And then the last question is, if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
I don't know if this is a superpower, but you know, in Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, is that what it's called? How they go into the cupboard and it's like no time has passed in the real world. I would love to be able to go into a cupboard and do all my work and come out and be fresh mom and act like no time has passed. That would be my superpower.
That would be amazing. I've actually not seen that. Should I watch that?
Oh, it's a really old books. Is it books? And it's turned into a movie.
Okay, I need to go and watch that. All right. Bit of a classic. All right, so let's go back to the beginning of how it all started for you, Cara. You're born on the Central Coast and then you moved to Newcastle when you're in primary school, and you're around 15 or 16 when you meet this dude named Kyle. Can you share with the listeners how you guys met and what that was like?
Yeah, I was it was the Australia Day long weekend, and I was actually at a youth camp in Sydney with some friends, and I just ran into some friends that I know, and they introduced Kyle to me, and he just, like, I was too scared to look at him. I just thought he was so hot. You know, when you're too, I just felt like if I looked at him, I'd go bright red and he would know straight away that I was in love with him, because it really was like, just looked at him and straight away I loved him.
Wow.
And like, if I had have looked at him, I probably would have realized he was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I could see out of the corner of my eye that he had this huge smile on his face, and yeah, we just hit it off, hung out a little bit there, and he actually, it was before Instagram.
Yeah.
So he said to me, so he was from the Gold Coast, and he said to me, when I fly home, I'm going to send you an email straight away.
Oh.
That's how long ago it was. And, he had to fly home a day early because he mucked his flights up, actually. And his dad passed away that same day. So he, if he hadn't have booked his flight wrong, he wouldn't have seen his dad before he passed away.
Wow.
Which just gives me chills, because, you know, everything happens for a reason, in my opinion. Mm. But see, in my head, I'd go home and this email would already be there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And then a day passed and I didn't hear from him, and I thought, oh, like I was actually pretty gutted.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I got a random call off him, and he sort of explained that his dad had gone missing, actually, in a light aircraft plane crash.
Wow, okay.
Off the coast of Byron Bay. So in my head, I was thinking, oh, they'll find him. He'll probably have a broken leg or something, you know, but they'll find him. But obviously that wasn't the case. They never found him, actually. They just found some wreckage from the plane. But that was literally how our long-distance relationship started, so meeting in person. And then just from that night onwards, he just would ring me every night. And, you know, he's so thankful for me as a distraction in that period as well.
Yeah, right. And so you guys would have had a very deep connection, a very vulnerable connection from such an early part of your relationship, really would have set that foundation of just that ultimate trust and transparency, I suppose.
Yeah, I was 16, he was 17, and, yeah, he had just finished school.
Okay.
And was sort of wondering what he was going to do with his life. And, yeah, he sort of says to me, like, I don't know, like if you hadn't have been there and been that distraction through that period, I probably would have just headed off to Bali and who knows what I'd be into now. But, you know, that sort of gave me some focus and something to look past all this mess.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. And so you and Kyle moved in together shortly after you finished school, or...?
Yeah, so he finished school. So he moved down to Newcastle not long after that, and I was still in year 12. Mm-hmm. So he just pretty much lived at our, you know, my mum is very motherly and sort of took him under her wing, especially after everything he'd been through. So he was just at our house for dinner every night, and it very much started, like, from the moment we looked at each other, we knew we were in love, but it was very much a friendship to begin with.
Right.
I'm so grateful for those couple of years that we had. So he lived in a boys' share house, and yeah, he'd pretty much half be living at our house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually moved into a girls' share house next door to them after a couple of years. And yeah, we've just had that friendship, and that's sort of how our relationship grew.
Beautiful. Yeah. And
we were together for 4 years before he proposed, and then we were engaged for another year. So yeah, I think having that time together before we sort of made it, you know, official and moved in and got married has been, yeah, the perfect way for us to start a relationship.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, and then you guys buy a house when you're 20 and you're studying to be a physiotherapist, and you become a fully practicing physiotherapist for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I understand that when you were practicing, you would come home and renovate this house that you'd bought, and both of you would, you know, kind of just jump in and start renovating. What do you think?
Yeah.
Where do you think that came from? Because I know a lot of 20-year-olds, and they don't work a full-time job and then go back to their house and start ripping it apart and going, yeah, we can do this. Like, where do you think that, like, drive and that grit came from?
Well, Kyle's dad's a builder, and I think he saw his success and thought, okay, there's definitely success and money to be made in building, even though money was never our drive. But I guess we both just loved a project together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even before, you know, while I was still at uni and Kyle was an apprentice, he'd pull old building materials off jobs and we'd make a mirror, and we just loved that little before and after. And so that progressed, like, I need a uni desk and let's buy this one and make it beautiful again. And we've always loved that before and after, and I guess naturally it's like, oh, let's get a house and do a whole before and after, and that's sort of how it progressed. So we started saving pretty early on for that.
Wow. Okay.
I think just getting the house and wanting to make it as good as we possibly could was our motivation.
Okay, so I don't know, at this point, were you still renovating, or you had renovated before you started, well, before you saw the block and saw that they were casting?
So we had just finished, we pretty much finished our house. We'd been renovating it for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We'd had a break and gone, I took some long, or not long, service leave, and we went to South America for 3 months.
Nice.
And when we got back, we were sort of ready for our next challenge. Like, are we going to sell this house and do it again? And we were just sitting on the couch one night and we saw ads for the block. And I said to Kyle, I would love to do that with you. I think we do really good, but I'm never going on television. And that planted the seed in his head. And then he just, you know, kept picking away at me. And I guess I eventually just realized they're not actors. They're just real people. Like, obviously we are too. And they're not expecting me to act. I just need to be myself and do what we've just done over the last 3 years. And they'll be there to document it. And so, yeah, we put an audition video and didn't expect to hear anything. Nearly had a heart attack. I was at the hospital working as a physio. And I told the physio assistant at the time, Michael, oh, my gosh, Michael, I've got this missed call from Lucky, the casting director. I don't think I can call him back. Like, I honestly wanted to just delete the message and not tell Kyle. And Michael was the one saying, you've got to call him back, call him back. And, yeah, they said come in for an interview. We literally came in for an interview the next day and then waited a week and they were like, you're on the block.
Wow. And then can you share where you were the day before or the night before you had to fly back in? Because this really painted quite a big picture in how much of a risk it was.
Yeah, so they said to us, all right, well, you need to fly to Melbourne next week. And I said, oh, I can't fly to Melbourne next week. It's my sister's wedding in Bali. And, yeah, we'll literally be at the wedding in a week's time. And they're like, oh, that's not going to work. So they agreed to push this filming back a couple of days so that we could do our elimination challenge. So we weren't officially on the block. We had to go through an elimination challenge. So they agreed to push the filming back a couple of days, but it meant that to get to Melbourne in time for this challenge, we had to leave Bali the night of the wedding. So, like, I was a bridesmaid at my sister's wedding. We did speeches. I gave a speech, and then we had to get on the midnight flight to Bali. So we had to leave the wedding at, say, 10 o'clock, which felt like, you know, the night was only just beginning. And I just felt like the worst sister in the world, but obviously everyone was like, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. This could change your life. But at the same time, I was like, well, we could just fly to Melbourne. I've missed like the most amazing day of my sister's life. And then we'll get eliminated. And all our friends will be in Bali at this point for the next few weeks. And Kyle and I, we didn't have enough money to fly back to Bali.
Yeah.
So that was what was going through our head the night of.
Man, I bet you your sister was like, you better do a good job this elimination round.
Oh, I remember saying to her, don't tell anyone else at the wedding that we're sneaking out. Next minute, everyone at the wedding's like, good luck, guys. No pressure or anything.
Oh, no. Okay. And so you're on the elimination round. You get through. What was the whole experience like? I can imagine it would be such a whirlwind.
It really was a whirlwind. And I'm like not a I'm definitely not an outgoing person. So it was so overwhelming. But what you don't see when you're watching the block is that there's these amazing producers, sound guys, and cameramen, you know, right behind the camera who do become really good friends with you. You spend every waking minute of the day with them and the night. So you do get to know them, and I guess that's how they are able to capture people's vulnerable moments, because you're renovating with this crew around you and you just feel so comfortable and relaxed with them at the end of the day. I remember waking up the day after filming finished and we woke up by ourselves for the first time in 3 months, because generally they're coming in with a crew 5 a.m. after you've just gone to bed, and you get so used to that. So it just felt so lonely and a bit boring just waking up by yourself.
Wow, what an experience. Do you think it was like harder than you thought it would be, easier, funner, more intense? What caught you off guard?
I don't think you can prepare for it. So it's definitely harder than any. I don't think the renovation maybe was, it was definitely hard, but we'd done that before. We'd stayed up late painting and then gone to work the next day. It was more that combined with the competition and the challenges, and then just having a camera in your face 24/7, especially when you're a quiet, reserved sort of person.
Yeah, I think I would even struggle with that. And I'm sure people are like, what do you mean? You've got a camera in your face a lot of the day. But I, you know, that I get to dictate that and I get to hold my boundaries. Yeah, it's on my terms, exactly. And I get to share what I want to share. I would be way too in my head to go on one of those shows. I feel like it would eat me alive wondering what people
want. And just really just trying to capture your vulnerable moments. Like, oh, I remember.
100%. The other couples
all had. I felt like they were trying to crack, because I'm pretty like, I'm a composed person, and even when there's stress around me, I can stay pretty cool, calm, collected on the outside. And I felt like the whole time they were just trying to crack me. Like, I felt like it was like, crack, you got to crack Cara. Like,
I sense that. Yeah.
Like, even in those hard physical moments where I'm carrying like bluestone pavers up the stairs, like, that's not going to crack me. It's more like, you know, all the other couples one night had family from Melbourne, and I remember like a couple of their family members had dropped them a meal or come to say hello, and we hadn't seen our family, and this was right towards the end, so almost 3 months. And I just remember the night producer could see that in my face and had the camera right there, and she's like, so what's going through your head right now? And I'm like, I knew the floodworks is coming. I'm like, I just really miss my family. And just lost it. And I felt like they were probably sitting in the editing suite going, oh, took us 3 months, but we broke her.
Oh, that's 100% what they're doing. They're doing their job. But I think, I would be really scared to go on there, because I'm such a crier. I cry at the drop of the hat. I wear my emotions on my, like, sleeve.
Oh, they would love you, Remy.
They would. And I'm just not putting myself in that position, because I'd be the crier. I'd be the one on the advert that's, like, just got boogers coming out of her nose. I'm just like, no thanks. I think you were so composed and so together. I think they would have, I absolutely can see that they would have seen that as a bit of a challenge and, you know, the money shot, I guess.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you if you would go onto the block now that you've had kids. Like, do you think you would have done that now? It's like 3 months away. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I just don't know. I honestly don't know how people do it. I understand they do it to get ahead, and I'm not in that position now. But I just can't imagine leaving my kids that long.
Yeah, no.
I guess if there was a way that I could take them with me in a way, like, you know, have them close by, I would. But, yeah.
Well, now,
and up until recently, we haven't really had the family support local to us. Like, my dad really just moved back from Coffs Harbour, and my mum's literally this week moved down from Newcastle. So we've never had family super close. Maybe we would have if we weren't in this position now.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about, I guess, having the confidence to change or shift careers, because you had spent 4 years studying and then 5 years practicing as a physiotherapist, and then you've gone, okay, I've had this, you know, opportunity with the block come on, and now I might dive into this. Did you struggle with that at all, or was it like you were really leaning into your purpose and you knew it was a passion? It's just like so much sacrifice. So for anyone that's like going through maybe a career change or a shift in that, can you share how that felt for you internally?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a hard one for me, because I felt like 4 years of uni and then 5 years of working really hard. Like, I loved my job. It was a tricky one. I guess obviously the block sort of put a halt on my physiotherapy career. Like, I had a really good, stable, permanent job, which is hard to get within New South Wales Health, particularly the women around me. That's what they strive for, especially coming into those childbearing years when you want to have a good maternity leave. So I did the block before that, before having kids, obviously, and I had to forfeit my permanent position to do the block. So that was a little bit hard, but obviously I knew that opportunity was, you know, not given to everyone. But then after the block, these opportunities started popping up, and Kyle and I really felt like, well, this is what we want to do. Like, you know, the before and after of a home and renovating and building, this is what we've always wanted to do. And these opportunities kept popping up, but I was still working casually as a physiotherapist, and it was just becoming increasingly hard to like the shift would come up and it would just be annoying. And then the whole day, all anyone wanted to talk about was, so what was the block like? And what's coming like? And I'm like, I'm trying to treat you. Like,
and so you're like a celeb.
Oh, it was, when, especially in a hospital environment, like I'd been working there for years. So I knew everyone, like, I know a cleaner would pop into the room and be like, oh, can I have a chat to you about the block? And I'd be like, I'm going to get the patient. Like, can we do this later? And I just felt like my days were so full trying to be Cara from the block and the physio. And anyway, what made my transition, I actually fell pregnant with Zaya in that time. And so I worked as a physiotherapist up until I was 7 months pregnant. And obviously I just told them I'm going to take maternity leave from my casual position or put it on hold. And that sort of probably helped being away from it and having a baby made me realize that having your own business can be so much more flexible and accommodating as you have a young child.
Yeah.
And also platforms like Instagram and Facebook and just this social media world grew like exponentially in that time. So when we started on the block, Instagram was so new. I think my personal Instagram had about 3 photos on it, and they're all with those crazy and hectic filters that they came out with.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anyone uses anymore. But in that time, like even while we were on the block, that sort of grew. I think by the end of the block, we had about 20,000 followers.
Right.
But who would have thought that, you know, how many years later, that could be such a business or an income stream. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was really hard. My identity, I felt like that was tied up. Like I'm Cara and I'm a physiotherapist, and that was really hard to let go of. And I only stopped my registration last year, at the start of last year, I think it was.
Okay.
I tried to keep up my registration and my CPD points for years, even though I wasn't working as a physio, because I just couldn't let go. But I guess for anyone who's in that same position, I'd say you got to go with your gut. And my gut was saying, Cara, why are you holding on to this? Like, you never, you're not going back there, you know, onwards and upwards. Like, I don't get me wrong, I love that job, but your heart is taking you in a different direction, and it works better with your lifestyle. I had to say goodbye to that.
Yeah, amazing. So, and I guess when you were talking about before, like spending time, if you had the opportunity come up again where you had to spend 3 months away from your kids, you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I'd do that again. But you and Kyle have created a way to do it alongside your children, which is amazing. So you've created your own opportunities, and you've had your own, straight off the block, you created your own production of your own renovation, and then you're featured in the Living Room TV show. And most recently, what was the last project you were on with production and TV?
Well, we put our Blue Lagoon build on telly. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that didn't just happen straight off the block. Like, it was a lot of hard work in that it was particularly for us working out what we wanted to do and what brings us joy and, you know, how are we going to make this work for us and our lifestyle. So when we first finished on the block, we set up, Kyle had his own carpentry business, but we set up a building company. He had his building license by that stage. But we were doing, straight off the back of the publicity of the block, we were traveling around Australia doing consults for people. So okay. If you wanted to renovate your home, we would fly up for however long, you know, we had certain packages available, and we would fly up and we would really nut things out with you. And that was all well and good when you don't have kids, but we were sort of just realized pretty quickly this is not sustainable and we can't grow a team with this because people just want Kyle and Cara.
Yeah.
And that was sort of where it's, you know, let's do our own renovations and film them and take people on that journey. That's where that sort of stemmed from. But it was, trial and error to get to that point.
Right. And now you are still kind of finding these projects and continuing to do what you love. And you have your own homeware business, which is amazing.
Yeah. So we've done 3 online series now, and the last one We worked with Channel 9 and our amazing team here, Blake and Vanessa. They repurposed that content for television, which was amazing. I feel like that was almost like a full circle for us. So we after the block, we did another show called Reno Rumble, but then we moved to Channel 10 for a few years and did The Living Room. So that was just smaller sort of makeovers. And then after that, you've done a full circle back on Channel 9, which was amazing, a great opportunity. And, we're just about to start another online series for our new build project that kicks off next week. And, we've got the homewares business. That started because when we do a renovation, obviously we style it, and instead of just, pulling styling from here, there and everywhere, we sort of have curated our favourite looks. And so when we do a renovation now, people can shop the look. So it started really small, but it's becoming a bit of a monster, to be honest. But it works really well alongside our builds because we can literally shop our collection, and it's authentic. Anything we put on the stories, we would buy it for our own home.
So cool. And you guys should be so proud of, everything that you've created, these opportunities. I guess it's kind of with the TV show that got repurposed, you're really creating that for yourself. It's not like luck, or it's not something that really truly exists, and you guys are creating that, and it's so cool to see and to watch. Because Kyle's a chippy and then became a builder. Yeah. And you're a physiotherapist. I'm trying to figure out, you got one of you or both of you has got to be really business minded and entrepreneurial. Do you know which one of you or where that comes from?
I think we just both have got a lot of drive. I probably, if I'm honest, I'm probably more business minded than Kyle, which he would admit, but he's just one of those people that has endless amounts of energy.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe I'll put something in his head and he just thinks about it, and he's like, okay, I've come up with a way to build this, or, he's just, I just love his energy because I'm just, I don't know, we're so opposites in so many ways, and I love his energy and enthusiasm for life. I think we work well together.
Do you guys still get to work quite closely on projects, or do you work, separately now?
I guess at this point of a build, we're definitely working really closely. So we've just finished designing this house with our amazing draftsmen, and, we've been working really closely in the office over the last couple of months. But that is about to be, so the house is getting knocked down actually this week, and we go through these phases in our online series, and we're about to go through the phase where I'll hardly see him because he'll be on site at 6 a.m. Back at 6 p.m. but they're we can do that because we know that they're phases.
Sure. Yeah.
Like leaning into those busy periods in life. And, at the moment, the last few months have been so lucky because he's literally 50-50 parenting with me. So, he did a bit of work this morning, and then he's taken the kids off for the day and I'm in the office all day. And, I trust, it's been so good having these periods because he just knows what needs to be done. Like, oh, I popped in and got groceries, and I've sorted the kids' lunch boxes for tomorrow. And if we didn't have these quieter periods in our life, he probably, wouldn't know
how to
contribute. Run the family.
Yeah.
I feel really lucky that we've had this cyclic way of working together.
Yeah, I can relate to that because we both, Clay and I both own our own companies. So it is similar in the way that we go through ebbs and flows, or it's more like a week-to-week thing where he's got a big, because he's carpenter and concreter, so he kind of takes on these, I guess, backyard blitz projects, and some weeks he'll say, I've got three pours this week, so I'm all hands on deck, and then other weeks I'm like, oh, I've got, I'm launching a product, so I need to be, so I feel like it's very lucky, and I feel so grateful, but I also think that this is a direction that some parents get to go, if they own their own businesses, and I love aspects of it, but then it then can be equally as challenging because you don't really switch off that much. Do you guys struggle to find the time for yourselves where it's not work and it is just purely Kyle and Cara relationship time?
Oh, 100%.
And work.
Kyle even said that to me this morning. We really need to find some time for us. Mm-hmm. I guess we've just come out of 3 months of lockdown too, so we haven't had any date nights or anything like that. And he's much better at organizing that sort of stuff than me. Like, I'm just like, I'm so busy, I've got so much to do. Like, you know, even at night after he's gone to bed, sometimes he'll pull me up when I pull my laptop out. So he's good in that regard. But yeah, I can totally relate to you. Like, sometimes you just need to stop and go, we can't talk about this. It's 10 o'clock at night. Business can wait till tomorrow because we need to, you know, find time for us. And yeah, that's hard. So I guess the pros of owning your own business, you know, like Kyle taking the kids out surfing today, you know, lunchtime on a Thursday. But, you know, he may be working till 12 o'clock tonight in the office to counteract that.
Yeah, it's definitely got pros and cons, and the juggle is certainly real. We celebrated 9-year anniversary yesterday and, like, we literally high-fived. I mean, and we do usually, I mean, I feel like it's the first year we haven't had anything planned, and it's just been a crazy whirlwind of a time. And, you know, you do really have to go, you know, even if you aren't business owners, but you've got young children, you really do need to kind of prioritize that. And I need to take my own advice and book something in. So where do you find your inspiration from now? Because I feel like, I imagine it would be quite challenging sometimes when you're so in these projects. Where do you get that? Is it Pinterest, like magazines? Where are you getting your?
A bit of everywhere, really. I guess when we start a project, the main thing is, okay, what would we love in a home? Mm-hmm. Or, like, for example, this next one, we'll be selling it straight away. So what we did at Long Jetty, we did the house and we went through the auction and we sold it straight away. This is purely a flip. So we're looking at, well, what does the market need here? And if we were to buy this house, what would we want in the house? So are we going to put in a pool? Yes, 100%. We're going to put in a pool. And how do we like entertaining with our kids now? Let's think about that and incorporate elements of that in the next build. Yeah, I guess we're sort of taking inspiration from everywhere, as you mentioned. I probably don't use Pinterest too much these days. I guess Instagram's a bit of a tool as well. But in terms of color palettes, you know, our style, it's very coastal, and we really are. So it sounds so cliche, but we're so inspired by, you know, like our rock pools down the road there and all those beautiful colors, those earthy tones. I guess that's where we take our inspiration from, color palette wise, and then lifestyle wise, it's about how we want to live.
Yeah, right. So just tuning into what feels like it's going to align with you and your family, and seeking inspiration from what's around you and the beautiful nature. That's awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the renovating game, things go pear-shaped, like proper, you know, there's a shortage of something that you really need, or I can't even think of scenarios, but I'm sure that it's really high stress sometimes, right? Is it?
Yeah, 100%.
How do you two navigate that? Because you are, like you said earlier, such a composed person and seem so calm. And feel free to say that you lose it sometimes, because that just makes
me feel better. I lose it. Yeah, ask Kyle. Actually, just on that, Kyle said to me, oh, Remy, is she going to interview me too? I was like, no, babe, it's just me. He's like, oh, I want to be interviewed too. So feel free to interview him for you. Okay. Your male listeners at some point.
Yeah.
I lose my shit. Kyle will tell you that. Not very often, but I feel like because it's not very often, it's monumental.
You just save it for a really good moment.
Yeah, and I feel like he knows now. Just let it go. Let it go. We'll be right in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like probably would say to you, I'm pretty good at keeping my calm when it's to do with the building site. It's the kids that get me.
Yeah.
The kids and the stress of that. Like we've got this Toowoon Bay house, and we've had 3 months of lockdown. We holiday let that. And it sleeps 16 people. Like, it's huge, and we haven't touched it for months. So we were there all day yesterday, like, doing maintenance, ready for guests that are coming now. And I felt like it's days like that, we're back on the block again. It's like, we've got a deadline, we've got so much to get done, this needs fixing, this is so stressful. And then I raced off to get Zaya from preschool and Beta from family daycare, and I had to go to Coles to get some more supplies. And I felt like that 15 minutes in Coles with them was way more stressful than anything I had done that day. Like, they stressed me out like you wouldn't believe, or you would believe, because you've got two yourself. But just like the wanting everything and the tantrum in the middle of the lolly aisle, and
just the parenting, time. Like the constant need to like tell them and show them and educate them on like every single step of the day. It's so tiring. I have days. I have days on Wednesdays with Lola, and she's three, and honestly, like, at the end of a Wednesday, I am the tiredest out of any other day of the week. It just blows my mind. Everyone thinks like, oh, work, you know, that's a lot, running your business. I'm like, that's a walk in the park. At least people at in my staff listen to me and don't disrespect me.
I take my hat off to mums who stay at home with their children till they go to school. Like, how did you do that? Like, I go to work to have a rest.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's finish up with some quick questions. I actually am going to throw one in there because I just thought of it. With Kyle, is it hard for him to get a task done at home? You know, like, you know, when you have like a chippy husband, you think it'd be so simple to get something really quick done or like change something.
Yeah.
Is it always his last priority because it's not work?
I think for most builders it is, but
yeah,
we do a lot of photo shoots at our house. So I just pull that card. Like, I'm like, oh, you need to fix that because I've got this shoot happening here tomorrow, like for the homewares, for example.
Yeah, and that's good.
I'd say that's a little tip for any.
I've got one for you. If that doesn't work, I'll say, oh, I really need this done at the warehouse. And he'll say, oh, I'm really busy. I'll say, oh, I might just hire someone on a air tasker or something. How much do you reckon that will be? He is there that afternoon.
That's a good one too, actually.
If you think
to the point where he's like, oh, yeah, get them to do it.
Yeah.
I guess that's one thing you learn as you, grow in business is like delegate.
Yeah, no, at this point, Clay's still quite possessive of our house and everything like that. So if I say for 1 second another trade's going to come in, he's like, nope, I'll do it. Okay, who nails their lines more, you or Kyle?
I would say definitely me.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. You know what it is with us? We have an on day and an off day, and they're like, if I'm having an on day, he's having a shocker.
Right.
And vice versa. I feel like we're never on together, which is probably really unfortunate for Blake, who does most of our editing.
Yeah.
But he knows us so well now. He's like family.
Cool.
You know, always a laugh.
What's one of your favorite ways to self-love and give back to yourself?
Get up in the morning and exercise, usually, you know, to the sunrise. I know you're the same. Like I did this morning. I was feeling really worn out. And the last thing I wanted to do was set my alarm for 4:40. But you realize after doing it for a while that as soon as you're up, it's okay. You don't feel as tired, and you'll feel 100% better when you walk back through the door and the kids are awake and at you. You've had that me time.
See, we are besties, because that's exactly how I felt this morning.
Closer, because we could do some sunrises together.
Yeah. Okay, and then you can make me fitter and run longer because, I've definitely never done a full marathon.
You can do some weights with me, darling.
Yeah, cool. What is one thing you wished you knew about motherhood before becoming a mum?
I wish someone warned me that going from one to two kids would be so hard. I just found that such a struggle. I found going from zero to one so lovely and pleasant, and like, I didn't realize how long you had to sit and breastfeed for, and that forced me to stop. Like, I'm one of seven kids. I don't know if you know that, but my mum's had seven kids, so I've always known that having lots of kids around is hard. But just like Kyle going off to work and me being at home with a newborn and a toddler under two was just really confronting for me. I'm just sort of person that wants to get up and get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
And some days you get nothing done. And that was really hard for me. So I guess I'd say it's okay. It's okay to have those days where you don't get anything done. Like it goes in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it just goes so quickly. So just don't be so hard on yourself.
Love that. And I totally agree. It's so – 1 to 2 is so intense. And, yeah, you want to kind of embrace that slowness again and that just that time in the feeding chair or the time staring down and being like, oh, but you're being like whacked in the head with a Peppa Pig. Like you can't – it's just – yeah, it's kind of like you're trying to be in two places at once when you become a mama of two for sure. And I don't even know like the third or the fourth, you're like, okay, no.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Like, well, my mum, for example, 7 kids. Yeah. Like, I've had 2, I'm like, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah. I'm always crazy. Like, did that happen on purpose? Like, was that intentional? Like,
what she happened? She always said she wanted 12 kids, and we all us kids, like, we love having a big family now. We're all a bit older, but we're like, oh, we are so thankful, Mum, that you stopped when you did because, you know, we had a hectic upbringing.
Yeah. Hectic. I imagine. Okay, and what on that note, what do you wish you could tell your younger self?
Just don't worry about what anyone thinks so much. Like, I'm the sort of person that tries to please people and wants everyone to like me, and I just, as you get older, you realise that's just can never happen, especially, you know, being in the public eye. And, yeah, who gives a shit about that? Like, as long as the people that truly means something to you and your community love you, then that's okay. Don't worry so much about what everyone thinks. Just be confident in who you are and your purpose.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. And I really hope one day in the future we can have sunset drinks and the kids playing around and my 2014-year-old self will just be screaming and fist pumping into the air because I made it happen.
And I think we'll be allowed into your state by Christmas time. So I'm hoping that, early in the new year, we'll be able to catch up in person. I really love that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kara. Bye.
Thanks, Robbie. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Empowered. If you enjoyed listening to Kara and I's chat, you may enjoy the chat I had with the lovely Marcia Leone, otherwise known as Not So Mumsy, in episode 19, or my chat on all things finance with She's on the Money founder Victoria Devine, which is episode 20. And if you feel like you may want to stick around, then please hit the subscribe button or follow button if you're on Spotify. It's a free and easy way to support my work in podcasting. I'm going to leave you guys now with the affirmation of the week. I'd love for you to take a deep inhalation and repeat out loud after me. I have all I need to bring joy into my day. That was wonderful. I hope you guys have a wonderful week and I will speak to you next Monday. Bye.